Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium with your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about family, parents, and leadership. Through my leadership company, Integrative Minds, I work with clients to transform them into high-performing parent leader. That's why I want to announce I will be launching my online Harmonious Family Blueprint, the 3-month program that will forever change your family. You'll be learning how to create a system and foundation that will bring more harmony, happiness, and excitement, as well as instilling boundaries, balance, and values to the family unit. If you don't currently have a plan or a blueprint, then you don't know where you're going, and it will be very difficult when those hard times come along, and they will. It's a 3-month commitment with live weekly group accountability check-in calls and 8 action plan with 2 bonus transformational guide on time and stress management, as well as family engagement. The program is only $1,997 for the whole 3 months, but for the first 10 people, we're reducing it to $997. We're only taking 20 people per program because I want to be able to give you at least 10 times your investment, and only on an application process because I want to take people who are really serious and committed. So if you're interested, email us at info@integrativeminds.com with your contact information so we can schedule an interview time. The link is also in the show notes. So on to our show today. Our show is about the 3 mistakes that keep you from financial freedom. Do you want to be financially independent? Do you want to leave a multi-generational wealth to your family? Do you want to have an income that meets or exceeds your current monthly cost of living? Then this is the show for you. Get out your notepad because you are going to need it. This is a special show, so we will be going longer than our usual 30 minutes because I think money is most likely something that's keeping you up at night. And financial freedom is most likely on your top 3 lists of wants and needs. I have an amazing guest today. He is a very successful businessman, an investor, an attorney specializing in tax, business, real estate, and estate planning. In his early days, in another life, he was a K-9 officer and a deputy sheriff for LA County. And what drew me to him is his genuine love and passion on creating long-term relationships with his clients, and especially that he really, really wants to help educate them and help them create a multi-generational wealth for their family and to achieve that financial freedom. He is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to money, wealth, and finance. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Maurice Kempner. Hi, Maurice.
Hi, Jackie.
I have much more to say about you, and then eventually during the show, I'm going to make sure that the listener know how amazing you are. But before we go on to what the topic of today is, tell us a little bit about you, because I know you have a very unique childhood for most people.
Well, I grew up on a farm in the state of Washington, and my family is a family that had multi-generational wealth. And I was always told that the thing you're supposed to do is acquire assets that generate income. Usually those are business or real estate assets, and then build those up and then roll them from one generation to the next. And that's what my family's been doing for a very long time. I was educated by my family in all things to do with business on the farm. I understood everything that was going on, how the tax returns worked, how money was made, how much it cost to plow an acre, water a field, all of that stuff before I was ever in junior high school. And that's the thing that you really need to pass on to your children. If you have a job, all the things that you learn in your job, all the skills you possess, all the training, all the connections you make, those just die with you. If you have a family business, you give all that training, skill, knowledge, and connections that you work with your family with over the years to your children, then it can move from generation to generation. And that's real wealth.
That's really powerful. Now, how did you go from the family business? I know you were canine officer and also a deputy. So what made you go from that into the being an officer and then back now to being this successful businessman?
Well, my dad's always told me, and in fact, my whole family always told me, the only reason you would want a job is for some short-term business purpose. I wanted to have some fun in law enforcement, and it's just something I wanted to do. So I decided to do that to pay for college and law school. And that's what I did. And as soon as I got out of law school, I went into business, and I've been in business ever since then for over 20 years now.
Wow. Okay. What got you started in this field of helping people?
After I got out of law enforcement, graduated from law school, bought this business and got started. And that's another reason I was in law enforcement, was to make a lot of business connections. So I have thousands of law enforcement clients around the country as a result of my temporary job there. What happened was people would come into me and they would tell me that basically what they were told as children growing up is that they need to get good grades in school so they can get into a good college, so they can get a good career and have good retirement benefits, and their kids repeat the process. And that's nothing like I was ever told when I was a kid, and I was pretty much in shock when I heard it. And I just thought, for some people, maybe they'd be interested in hearing another alternative that might work better for them, such as acquire business and real estate assets that build up and flow from one generation to the next, so that you can be financially independent and work together as a family instead of everybody going off in separate directions and just seeing each other on Christmas and so on, because everybody has their own job. The kids aren't involved. It's not a family enterprise.
We are going to get to the three mistakes that keep you from financial freedom. But I think before we do, it's really important that Maurice educates all of us about wealth. So Maurice, what is wealth?
Well, wealth is, a lot of people think wealth is financial assets. Financial assets are really just a symptom of real wealth. Real wealth is who you know. There's really three parts of it. It's who you know, what you know, and then your financial assets. Who you know is your family, your clients, your business connections. It also is things like your values as a person that keep you the way you are and make you work the way you are. Maybe it's a religion you have, things like that. Your health. Those are all important things like that. Your family. Then there are your intellectual assets. Intellectual assets are your education, your skill, your knowledge, your experience, the things you know how to do. And then there are your financial assets, which is money, real estate, gold, silver, whatever. Now, if you ask most people if they had to give up any one of those, most people would give up their financial assets. They wouldn't give up their friends and their family. They wouldn't give up the things they know. Those are the things that make you who you are and really give you the ability to create wealth. If you know how to do something that people will pay for, that's worth something to other people, that's your wealth. The fact that you have money or don't have money, that's just temporary.
Yeah, because there are people who have that intellectual asset that they say, hey, if I lose all my money, put me anywhere and I can make all the money back.
Yeah, you could take wealthy individuals who really know how to make money and you could take all their money away from them. And in a short period of time, they'll have all these financial assets again because they know how to make money.
Yeah, and they have the human assets because they have all the connections.
Right. So people will call them, hey, let's do business together. Let's do this. Let's do that. Because they know when they do business with that person that it works out.
You talked about the job, the J-O-B, because you talk about there's four ways to make money compared to having a job. So what are those four ways?
One of the ways you make money is cash flow. For cash flow, when you have a job, you get paid a certain amount of money for finite periods of time in your life. There's a date and time out there when it's going to be all over for you and you're going to die. Finite, irreplaceable units of time in exchange for cash flow to your employer. And that's how you're getting cash flow with a job. With a business, your cash flow potential is unlimited. And you don't necessarily have to put in time to get the money. If you work on your business and you build up business assets that generate cash flow, whether you work or not, then you don't have to exchange as many units of time. In fact, as a general rule, more time you put in to working, the less money you actually make. Another way you can make money is through leveraging. An example of that is I can hire employees, I can borrow other people's money, and I can use and leverage that to make money for me. In a job, there's no leverage. You can't really buy things or hire people to work under you in your job. So there's really no way to leverage it. Another way you can make money is through appreciation. So appreciation is, for example, when something goes up in value. If you have real estate or a business, that'll tend to go up in value over time. Your job really has no value. It doesn't appreciate in value. You can't sell it. Your kids can't inherit it. There's no way you can make money from your job through appreciation. The fourth way you can make money is through what we call rules, or what my family always called rules. Basically, all the rules are set up for business and industry to take advantage of all the laws, the tax rules, everything are in their favor. So that basically business people can decide if, when, and how much they're going to pay in taxes by doing certain things in business. When you make wages, though, the rules are pretty much not in your favor. You just have to pay taxes on the money you make. So, for example, I can hire my kids, which I do, to work in my business. I write it off as a tax deduction on my business. I pay them money, and they use this money to pay for their college. And so now I've paid for their college, their whole entire education, with pre-tax money. You can't do that if you have a job. You have to earn the money, pay taxes on it, and then pay for their school. There are some credits you can get if you make under a certain amount of money, but that's it. So there's an example of just one rule, but there are legions of rules that favor people in business.
And these are all legal rules, since you are a tax attorney also.
Yep, it's perfectly legal for me to hire my kids and for them to use that money to pay for college.
How does a job compare then?
Well, a job is, in my opinion, it's greatly limited in potential compared to what you can do in business or real estate.
But it does give people security. I think that's why people take jobs. They feel secure.
Well, a lot of people feel like they're more secure in the job, but really they're not. You see people laid off.
That's true.
And it can happen to anybody. When you have a job, you're basically depending upon the people who run whatever company or agency you work for to do things the way they're supposed to so that you don't get laid off. And your potential is limited. You're limited to whatever the highest paid person in that organization makes, if you would ever even have the chance to go that high.
Right, right. And that's a good point.
And it's not multi-generational. You can't leave your job to your children. They can't inherit it. You can't sell it. So you just have to keep trading these non-renewable units of time for cash.
So another part of wealth that I think a lot of people don't consider is inflation, because you can make the same amount of money now as you do 10 years from now, but with inflation, it's not the same price. So then how does that factor into wealth and what we can do? So what is inflation?
Yeah, it's a real problem, especially with retirement plans. Inflation just has to do with the relationship between money and goods and services. And when there tends to be too much or a lot of, when money increases as compared to goods and services, you have inflation. If you can increase goods and services at the same rate you increase money supply, then you typically don't have inflation. But the way our government does things, it helps them pay for things by creating a certain amount of inflation. That's why they call it an invisible tax. That's how they paid for World War II, is with inflation that they created after the war to pay down the debt that they incurred because of that war. But with retirement accounts, for example, it's a big factor. So inflation in the United States runs around 3% a year. So that means if you retired 20 years ago, the money you had in your retirement account on that day is now worth about 60% less than it was 20 years ago.
Wow, 60%. That's a lot of money you're losing.
So you have to keep taking out more and more money every year
to
keep your retirement going. And you have to pay taxes on that, even though it's not even replacing, in most cases, the money you've lost due to inflation. You still have to pay taxes on it. So it turns into a race between whether you run out of retirement money or you die first in your retirement.
Oh, wow.
Business assets, like say you have real estate, over the last 20 years, real estate has gone up in value. You would have had tenants that would have been giving you boatloads of equity in your properties because they would have been paying down your loans. And rent over the last 20 years has gone up everywhere. So you would have had automatic pay increases. So rent would have gone up, equity would have gone up, and then when you die, you would have left your children a paycheck for life.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. So now you talked a little bit about the retirement. There's different retirement plan though. So there are some retirement plans, like I have a Roth IRA where I don't have to pay taxes when I take it out. Does inflation still affect that?
Well, yeah, whatever you're like, if you had $100,000 in your Roth IRA account on the day you retired and you retired 20 years ago, that money would be worth $40,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
So even though you wouldn't pay taxes on it, you have to have enough earnings to make up for that.
That's right. Good point. Okay.
And these plans are all designed to be used up in retirement. They're not designed to flow. Roth IRA is not designed to be built up and flow from parents to children and so on forever, and they can just live off of the income like you could with a business or real estate.
Yeah, and that's probably based on if you die before you're 70 too, right?
Right. In Roth accounts, they don't require you to take the money out. In other retirement accounts that are non-Roth at around 70 and a half, they require you to take the money out at a certain rate because they want you to actually use it up during your retirement time.
And that they can tax you so they can get more money out of you.
Right.
Okay. Let's get on to these three mistakes that we're making. Mistake number three, what is it?
Well, not taking advantage of being in business. And I think we've discussed all of that, and it should be pretty crystal clear why you would want to have some kind of business. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're selling flowers, selling coffee, preparing tax returns, or being a lawyer, whatever it is, you're in business if you're in business. And a lot of people, that's the mistake they make. They go into business thinking, well, I'm really good at making flower arrangements, and then they go in and they think they're arranging flowers. But really what they're doing is they're in business. So business is the same pretty much no matter what you do, whether it be landlording or providing services. So you want to be in business so that you can take advantage of the four ways of making money that we discussed, so that you can acquire real wealth, like we talked about, human and intellectual assets that will generate financial assets for you, and so that all of this stuff can be passed on to the next generation.
What I'm hearing you say is, say someone's good at flower arranging, and this is what happens to a lot of people. They think they're good at something, and they're like, I'm going to start a business. And a lot of time it fails. Why does it fail if they're good at what they do?
Yeah, it fails because they think, for example, with the flowers, they think that they're arranging flowers, but they're not. They're in business. They're not florists. They're in business. I'm not really an attorney or any of that stuff. I'm a businessman, and I'm running a business. And I can pretty much run any kind of business there is once I've brought it to speed on certain things, because business is business. It's all pretty much the same principles of work, no matter what you do. So if you go out there and you start doing something and you think that's what you're doing, like arranging flowers, instead of realizing that you're in business, that's why it fails, because they're not running it like a business. And they make improper decisions. They make flower arranging decisions instead of decisions on how to control inventory or costs or how to figure out a profit margin. They're not doing those things. They're figuring out how to make better flower arrangements, and that'll just put them out of business in a hurry.
I see. So you're good at flower arranging. You should hire a businessman to run your business and you do the flower arranging. Or if you're good at business, hire someone that does flowers and you run the business and they can make the flowers.
Well, we do that for a lot of our customers. We actually run the business end of it for them so they can arrange flowers or whatever it is they're doing if they don't want to do business. But somebody's got to run that business. But if I bought a flower shop and I had two people apply and one was really good at business and knew nothing about flowers and the other one knew nothing about business but knew all about arranging flowers, I'd hire the business person.
But wouldn't you need someone that knows how to arrange flowers too?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what employees are for, that you hire to come in there and arrange the flowers and so on. You can figure that stuff out. But somebody's got to be able to run that business.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
If you don't have that, you're done right from the beginning.
So what's mistake number two?
Well, I think it's a big mistake not to plan for multi-generational wealth, because you spend your whole life meeting people, getting to know them, establishing these lifelong business relationships, just like you and I know each other. I think it's good for our kids to know you and me eventually as they get older and that, because these are good business connections that we've made. And you don't want all that stuff to just die with you. So if, let's say, for example, you're a police officer, you meet all these important chiefs and sheriffs and forensic analysts, you meet important lawyers and defense attorneys and district attorneys and all those things. But all of those important connections, they really just die with you. They mean nothing to your kid. But if you have a business and you make connections in your business, those are business assets you have, all those connections. And those can flow into the next generation. And all the things you learn when you're in business, how to do things, how to make things work, how to make money, that flows to the next generation.
Okay, so let's get to that number one. What's the number one mistake that we're making?
Well, it's overlooking the passive income opportunity. So the opportunity to make money, whether you're actually doing anything or not, you should be making money 24 hours a day, no matter what you're doing.
So this is the money making while you're sleeping that we talk about.
You're making money while you're sleeping. That's exactly right. So you should have rental income coming in. You should have business income coming in. You should have employees that are working for you generating income. That's acquiring assets that generate income. That's what my family told me to do. And you can do that with business. Business is really the only way to do it, whether it be real estate or any other kind of business, just like your business or my business, same thing.
So now for someone that say they have a job or they're retired and they don't have their own business, but they don't have time to create a business. I know you have, or actually even if they have their own business, you have a really great program called the Legacy Program that can help them earn this passive income while they're sleeping that you're talking about, right? You talk about how it can help them make money. It gives them the freedom that they want. It allows them to create the life that they want. So let's get into some scenarios. Someone that has a 401k and IRA, how can the Legacy Program help someone like that?
Well, in our Legacy Program, there's basically two sides to it. One is where we help people who have an existing business. We go in, we show them, a lot of small business people are in a lot of trouble. For example, like we were talking about, they think they're arranging flowers when really they should be in business and they have no idea what they're doing. And we go in and we help them out and we consult with them. That's one thing. A lot of our clients, though, are people who have jobs and they've never had a business and they don't have a business. And so rather than have them do some kind of multi-level marketing thing or something like that, we put them into turnkey rental properties. We have people who rehab these properties, fix them all up so they're in really good condition, and then manage them for them. And then they're about the price of a car. So the down payment on one of these properties is about the same as somebody would put into their 401k every year. Instead of putting money in a 401k or an IRA every year, you just put a down payment on a rental property. And then you start making money right now. And by the time you retire, you've got a boatload of properties. We can take somebody like a police officer, and in about 10 to 13 years, we can generally equal their income from them doing this instead of their regular 401k. And by the time they retire, they've got a way bigger retirement, and they learn all the basic principles of business by being a landlord that we've talked about.
And you teach them how to do all this in your program.
Yeah, and so that's why we're looking for long-term relationships. You can't just buy a book or listen to some tapes or have some coaching like a lot of people will sell you. This stuff takes years and years and years to learn. So we're looking for people who want a lifetime relationship with us.
This is a program that just because you want to be in it doesn't mean that you get in it. Maurice talks to you, and if it fit, then that's how you get in the program. But what about people that already put money in their existing 401k and their IRA? I know moving forward, if they're in your program, they can, instead of putting in there, they can put in a property. But what if they've got a lot of this boatload of cash that they've been putting there? Can you do something with what's in there?
Yeah, a typical scenario here is somebody will come and they will say, well, hey, Marie said, we're just a middle-class family. We have bills, and I don't really want to adjust my monthly payments that I have to make, and I don't have a big wad of cash. So how can I get in there without coming up with any of my own money or changing my monthly expenses? Now, if they've got a 401k or they have equity in their house, there's a couple of things we can do. So what we'll do is they could typically borrow up to $50,000 or 50% of their 401k. We'll take some of that money out and put it as a down payment on one of these rental properties. Or we can use equity line of credit on a house, same thing, put it down on a property. And like I said, it's like buying a car. The payment is anywhere from $300 to $600 a month, when I'm talking about a high amount of money here that we're involved with. That's how they buy the property. So now they didn't have to come up with any of their own money, so to speak. They just borrow the money to come up with the down payment. Usually the down payment's 20%. They borrow the other 80% from the bank. And then instead of making monthly payments into their 401k, they use that money instead to pay off the down payment that they borrowed from their line of credit or their 401k. And then once that down payment's paid off, they borrow another amount out again and buy another property and the same thing. So really what they've done is they've switched from putting money monthly into their retirement instead now into their own business or their own landlord business, so to speak. And then when they retire and they're able to get that money out, or if it's not tied up in a company and they can get it out now, at that time, we'll move it into a self-directed IRA and they can actually buy real estate in their IRA, which is a little more complicated than we have time to discuss in this show, but they can set that up so their kids can inherit that and it just goes up in value and they collect rent and so on, just like anything else. They just do it through the IRA.
So they don't have to wait till they retire to really profit from their IRA now.
Right. There's some things we can do now. And then once they retire, when we can move that money over into a self-directed, then we can really do things. And they can actually, if they move that money, if they have several hundred thousand dollars in their retirement account, we can just put that into self-directed, they can buy real estate with it. And the rent that's collected is what they take out of there and live off of that. And the properties continue to go up in value, so they don't have this problem with inflation that we talked about before.
Wow. Okay.
It goes up with the rental properties as rents go up. And then their kids will eventually inherit that.
Okay. What about if they're selling their home? What can you do in that case?
Well, we've had cases where people have sold their house and then they've said, well, we want to take this money that we got from the sale of our house and we want to make it as a big down payment on the next house that we're moving up it to. It's a little bigger, it costs a little more. That way we'll have a smaller payment by doing that. But what we've done is we've said, okay, put the smallest amount down that you can on the next house. Then we take all the rest of that money and buy rental property. Now, the income from the rental properties will actually make the entire house payment in a lot of cases on the new house they bought, plus pay the property taxes, utilities, food, everything. In addition to that, since they have a bigger mortgage on the new house they bought because they put the minimum down, they have a way bigger tax deduction on their tax return to protect their income.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I don't know why more of us don't know about this.
Well, it's pretty amazing when you've got, I've got clients who are sitting there basically living in their house and not using any money out of their paycheck to pay for it. It's all paid for by their rental properties. And then they're not paying as much tax nearly at all on their income from their paycheck because they've got a big tax deduction because of their mortgage.
But then what about people who have income property?
Well, the properties that the markets we look for, the price of housing in those markets is typically lower than the national average. Mm-hmm. And rents tend to be pretty consistent throughout most of the areas of the United States with a few exceptions. So if the price of the housing is less and the rent is similar, you can make a much higher rate of return in those kind of markets. We don't even look at a property unless we can get at least 10% gross rent of the purchase price. So in other words, if price of the property is $100,000 to buy it, we expect to see at least $10,000 in gross rent before expenses or anything. That's just the gross rent. That's the minimum rent it has to pay for us to even consider it as an investment property. Now, in California, for example, let's say you had a $600,000 house.
That's cheap if you can find $600,000, at least in L.A. Yeah. You're talking about condos at $1 million in L.A.
Okay, let's say even $1 million house. If you had $1 million house, to meet our criteria, you'd have to get $100,000 a year in rent on that house for us.
That's not possible.
No. So there's a lot of people who have rental properties in California and places like that where they just can't get the rent per the purchase price that you can get in other markets. So what we can do, because of rules, remember we said that's one of the four ways you can make money, is there's rules that favor business. You can actually exchange that property in California for other properties in other markets of equal or greater value. So for example, there's a case we've been working on now where the property is worth around $800,000 and the owner's making around $40,000 a year in profit after expenses on it. But once we do a 1031 exchange into properties in other states outside of California where their return is higher, they'll be making over $110,000 a year in profit after expenses.
Wow. So, okay, you California income property owners, take a look at your bottom line. If you're making less than 10%, which most likely you are, you need to contact Maurice because he can triple, maybe even more than what you're getting in return. So that's awesome. And then what about inheritance, when someone gets an inheritance?
Well, that's the same thing. And that's one of the things that you asked me about earlier, is why I got started. Because so many times I would see people come in and they'd say, well, grandma died or my dad died, and now I got this money and I just want to figure, tell me, Maurice, what I got to do to get the money and pay off my siblings and get the money paid out to all of us, sell their house and everything so we can go pay some bills, put in a new pool or whatever. And I was just shocked that that was the legacy that this person who just died was going to leave, was that people would have some fond memories and a little bit of cash to pay some bills off, and that was it. I just thought they should be doing something else with this money. So when you have an inheritance, as the more substantial it is, the more you can do with it. And you can acquire these assets that generate cash flow, and that just builds up over the rest of your lifetime. And then when you die, it goes to your kids after that. That's multi-generational wealth. That's wealth flowing from one generation to the next to the next. But most people that I've seen that haven't heard anything about this, all of you that are listening can just think of the people you know who have inherited things. They just spend the money.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with it. Like you said, they don't have a program like this or anybody that they can turn to know what to do. And so they just think about, let's see, pay my debt and kind of enjoy my life a little bit and stick a little bit in savings.
Right.
You have a very unique program. But before we get into what the program is about and what you offer, there are people that this program is not for. Who is this not for?
We're a little bit selective on who we bring into the program. We want people who realize that the people that they're working with here are business assets of theirs. And as a business asset, you want to take care of your assets. You don't want to abuse them or try to squeeze them for every nickel you can get. We don't treat our clients that way, and we don't want clients who try to treat us that way. We're looking for people who want to be in a long-term, mutually beneficial relationship that will help us grow our business and help them grow their business. And not everybody's cut out for that.
And I'm sure you probably do not want somebody who's not willing to be open and to learn new things.
Yeah. You know, there's people who come in and they'll do things sometimes. I mean, we try to screen well, but once in a while we'll get somebody that'll come in. It just happens, and then they'll go off and do some stuff on their own, or think that, oh, well, now that you've told me all this, I've got it, I don't need to know any more from you. And then they get burned. They come back, and then we have a bit of a problem to straighten out. So we have a whole team of people. We've been doing this for a long time. We're really good at it. And so people who are willing to learn, want to come in, realize that they don't know about business, they don't have any business experience, they want to come in and learn that, it's a real good opportunity for somebody who's willing to learn like that. If they're really nervous about things and they just don't want to be responsible for their decisions about money, they'd rather just work for somebody else and let them be responsible, it's probably not a good program for them. If they have this employee mentality, it's probably not a good thing for them. If they're really comfortable living the way they are and doing what they're doing and they just don't want to change it, that's probably not a good thing for them. That's Einstein's definition of insanity, right?
Yeah.
Same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. You got to be willing to do other things than you've been doing. If you do what everybody else does, you end up like everybody else.
And I love how you said the comfort zone. You got to stretch, and staying in that comfort zone doesn't create any growth. So this is going to make you stretch, but stretching is like going to work out. It's going to be a little painful, but the benefit is far greater.
Well, if you're in your comfort zone, you're not learning anything. That's why you're comfortable, because you already know how to do it and you're comfortable doing it. Whenever you feel uncomfortable about something you're doing, it just means you're learning something new. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So who is this program for then? Who are you looking for?
We want people who want to create multi-generational wealth, who want to spend time with their family, who want to create a family business, people who want to be financially independent. And we all eventually have to become financially independent, if you think about it, because eventually there's going to come a time, if you live long enough, where you're not going to be able to work or do anything. You're going to have some means of support. So you might as well try to have the best financial independence that you could get.
Well, let's talk about this legacy program. Now, you kind of hinted about it earlier that it's a turnkey program that you help people with. Now, whether they have a business or if they don't have a business, you have this turnkey where you do it all for them. So let's get into the nitty-gritty about what this program is about.
Well, this program is about family and multi-generational wealth. This is about strengthening your family by having you all work together. Everybody's an asset of everybody else, and everybody helps everybody else. Everybody works together, spends time together, and the business is the tool that you use to do that. And in the process, it builds up multi-generational wealth. That's basically the whole purpose of the program right there. It's not just about making money or acquiring real estate. It's really about family.
That's awesome.
And family can be anything. It's not necessarily people who just have two moms and dads and children. Family are the people that are closest to you. Some people aren't married. Some people don't have children. There's all kinds of families. By family, we mean it's a pretty loose interpretation. It's just doing things that you want to do with the people you love the most in this world. That's family.
Right. Let's get into this turnkey real estate property investment. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes. The properties are usually between $75,000 and $150,000. So like I said, it's like buying a car. We scour the earth and we find good people in good markets that build these properties up, fix them up, and get them prepared for renters so that they put things in these properties that are hard to break, easy to fix, and don't cost as much. So, for example, we avoid carpet and put a type of a tile floor down in these rentals. It's the same floor in every house, same paint, same toilet, same door. It's just a system that is used over and over and over again. And then we rent them. And we rent in stable markets where the prices have a history of not going up and down in dramatic amounts. Like you'll see in California and Phoenix, Las Vegas, markets like that, you can see how prices have fluctuated a lot. We try to avoid those kind of markets. We have management that manages everything, so the tenants basically don't even know who you are. You don't have to deal with it. They get the tenants, they evict the tenants, they collect rent from the tenants. All of that stuff is handled for you.
And what about financing? You have all that too.
Yeah, we have banks that we work with. They're just normal banks that have experience in this kind of market, and they know how to do these kind of loans, but you can use any bank. It doesn't have to be ours. Ours are usually better for all the reasons that I just gave. They're familiar with these markets and these kind of properties.
Wow. And you have some bonus that you give to the people that are in your program. What are some of the bonuses?
Well, people that are in our program, anything to do with money or legal stuff, they call us anytime with any question they have. And we're always here to help them. Our goal is to teach people all about money and legal things and business. And we, believe it or not, we learn a lot from our clients too, from the situations they go through and things that we have figured out for them over the years. So it's a mutually beneficial thing. And we know a lot of people and we have a lot of resources. So we're just kind of the go-to money people that you can always call whenever you have issues or a problem or anything you want to know. And our job here is to give you an education regarding tax and business that will build up over, so 5-10 years from now, you're going to be a lot more sophisticated business person than you are now.
And you've got a whole team of attorney there. So when someone's asking you any kind of question, this is legal advice that they're getting that would cost them a lot of money if they had to go pay an actual attorney to talk to.
Yeah, there's legal advice, business advice. We help people with tax questions. Anytime they have an issue, they just call us, our legacy clients, and we help them with that.
What kind of return can I expect to see, and how soon can I see it if I was to invest?
Most of our clients are getting somewhere around 30%.
Wow.
Before vacancies and repairs. So after you factor in vacancies and repairs, they're bringing in anywhere from 15 to 25% typically. And that includes cash flow, appreciation on the property, and then also the buildup of equity from amortization. So that's where the tenants are paying off the loan for them.
Okay. And how much time and effort do I really have to put into it? Because if I'm over here in California and the property is somewhere else, it's going to be pretty hard for me to put time and effort in it.
You can pretty much do as much or as little as you want to do. It's all turnkey. The management is there on the ground. The management companies that the people we get, we look for people who have, we like to see at least 400 or 500 properties under management. We like to see 10 years of experience. I like to see a quick turnover rate, 45 days or less on average when a property goes vacant that they manage. We look for things like this in our property managers. So they're generally pretty good at what they do.
And then what happens in some of these markets when we had that last meltdown, the real estate meltdown here, because a lot of people lost their properties that even invested out of state, in state?
Well, so for example, in the markets, we none of our clients who are legacy clients had any foreclosures on any of their investment properties or short sales or lost any real significant amounts of money. In Memphis, for example, one of the markets we had when price of properties here in California went down over 20% in 1 year, they went down 2-3% in Memphis. And in Dallas, another market, they went down less than 1% in value. So that's the difference between a stable market and a market that's less stable, like California.
And so you have a team or an algorithm that you figure out what's the stable market, that we don't have to do it ourselves?
Yeah, we look for these markets where we don't like to see big price fluctuations or the potential for that. We do what we call investing from the outside in. So you look for a certain kind of market. We like to see 700,000 or more people in the market. We like to see an economy that's as good or better in gross domestic product growth rate as the United States in general. We like to see a high portion of the population that rents. So, for example, about 48% of the population of the Memphis MSA, Metropolitan Statistical Area, is what that means. Memphis is, there's about 3 million people there. About 48% of them rent. They have a diverse economy. It's not based on any one thing. There's a lot to do with traffic up and down the Mississippi River. FedEx is there. There's colleges there. On and on it goes. Dallas, same thing. And there's not a lot of land regulation, and land is cheap. So the prices don't tend to fluctuate as much as they do in places like California.
So what happens if there's a market crash again, like it happened, and how can we prevent that from happening or affecting our properties?
I would never tell anybody that there's no risk. I mean, just getting up in the morning and driving to work, you could be killed in your car. So there's always risk no matter what you do. The key is to manage the risk. So the way we manage the risk is we try to stay in those markets that historically have taken these big hits like this in the real estate market without much of a move in the price. The price wasn't affected that much and rent were stable. And that's where we invest. Now, there's never any guarantee. Any business anywhere or any kind of business is always going to be good no matter what it is. That's just life. But that's the way we manage the risk. And like I said, none of our clients that were legacy clients lost any of their properties during this last town. They weren't even threatened.
Tell me about the property manager more, because how do I know that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and taking good care of the properties when I'm out of state?
Well, so for example, when you buy the property, they do what we call a scope of work on the property. They fix it up. They give a list of all the stuff they've done. And then you have an inspector who goes out to the property, who inspects the property in general, and then also make sure that all the things that were supposed to be done were done. Anything they find that wasn't done, the people will fix it, the sellers fix it, and then they pay for the inspector to come back as many times as necessary until those things are checked off and fixed. So you've got somebody who's a professional who's standing in your shoes on site, who knows more than you do about the condition of the property anyway, and they're looking at it for you. So we have all kinds of safeguards like that. You can always go out and see the properties yourself anytime you want, although most investors don't. And that's how we know. And then we do business with property managers who have a long record. That's why we like people who've been in business for at least 10 years, so we can see what they've been up to and how they've performed over time.
Now, these property managers, you keep in contact with them, so they have to be accountable to you, right? So if they somehow mess us up or screw us over, you are still involved somehow.
Right. I think that there's much less likelihood of there being a problem when you're with us, because if you bought the property from the seller directly themselves, they would charge you the same price for it. They pay us for bringing you into them. That's how we make money from it. But they don't charge you extra for that, for what they pay us. Those, they just take that out of their sales costs. But now, if we do a big portion of their business and we have a lot of people who have properties under management with them that are our clients, it's like one big buyer. And if we call and we say, we have an issue with this or we have an issue with that, I think they're likely to pay more attention because we have a lot of their business. You're just not one person with two or three houses. It's somebody who has hundreds of houses, let's call them.
It's almost like a hedge fund.
Yeah. And so it matters more. But to be honest, the people we use, we have a great deal of confidence in them. And nobody's ever perfect. There's always going to be little issues that come up. But we've always felt really good about how the people we use have addressed them. And so we have a high level of confidence in the people we use. And I don't think it's really necessary for us to have this extra influence on them. But it's just good to know for you that we do have that. You're in a big buying group of one, so it gives you that extra strength or power.
The power of numbers.
Yeah.
How do I know that the quality of work, because you're saying that they also rehab the homes, and these are all single family homes. They're not like condos or apartments, right?
Right. We like the single family homes to start people off with. We start them off with just one so they can see how they like it, make sure it's for them. They see it's real. They have land, brick and mortar. They start to collect their rent checks and they see it's really working. They have the title to the property and all of that. And then we go from there. But the way this works is they repaint everything inside. They replace all the toilets. They replace all the doorknobs, door hinges. There's a list of things we go through. If the water heater is a certain age, it gets replaced. If we think the roof has less than 7 years of life on it, it gets replaced. And there's a whole list of things like that that are minimum things that need to be done to make sure the house is of a certain quality by the time it's turned over to the client and they close on it. And then we have that client has their inspector who works for them go out and look at it to make sure all those things were done and that everything's in code and there's not any other issue. A lot of these properties we sell come with a warranty where if anything goes wrong for a period of time, typically 2 years, that wasn't discovered, then the seller will fix it with no charge to the buyer. So, for example, about a half a year ago, one of my clients had bought a property and the sewer line between the house and the sewer in the street collapsed, and it cost about $3,300 to fix it. The seller came in and just fixed the whole thing.
You mean the seller or the property manager?
Well, the seller and the property manager, those are the same people.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So they fix it up and they sell it and then they manage it for you. You don't have to use them as a manager, but I would highly recommend it because they fixed them up. They know what's in there. They have all the parts and everything. So in that particular property, that's something that was missed. And then when all of a sudden things started to back up, they came out and found what was wrong. And so they replaced that sewer line and they paid for the whole thing.
Now, are there any special tax advantages when I die?
Well, yeah. So there's what they call a step up in basis. So let's say you bought the property for $100,000 and now it's worth $200,000. So you made $100,000 of profit. If you were to sell the property while you were alive, you'd have to pay taxes on that $100,000. But if your kids inherit the property from you, the government steps up the basis for tax purposes from $100,000 to $200,000. In other words, they give your children value of the property that it was worth on the date of your death. So then the children receive it as though they paid $200,000 for it. And nobody ever pays any income taxes on any of those gains that those properties made over the years.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that's just, there's so many other tax advantages that, I mean, we could do a whole program.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So I've kind of been taking notes. What I hear, the legacy program is for people who want to be in business. So if they have an existing business, you help them create more success to that business. On top of that, you also have a turnkey real estate property investment, which you have properties priced between $75,000 to about $150,000, almost like the price of a car payment. You find the properties, you bring it to your clients, you research and make sure that it's all in a stable rental market. You also help them with financing. You help them with ongoing property management and any kind of other management. And the tenants are interviewed and they are placed, so they're good tenants. And then your team is there for any kind of questions and help with legal advice, with business advice, with investment advice and tax advice. I know when we spoke offline, you also meet with them complimentary for the first session to go over thy financial to discover what potential you can do and if this is a fit. And all this is a one lifetime membership. And they also get a 15-day satisfaction or money back guarantee, right? Is that correct?
Well, yeah. So we're not used car salesmen. So we have this conversation with people. We like both spouses to be there. We want to make sure this is a good fit for them, that we think it's a good fit for them, and they think it's a good fit. So that's what we meet for. And then after they pay this $997, so it's $1,000, join our legacy group. That's the one time fee. It's not $1,000 a year or anything. It's just $1,000. That's it. And now you're a member. And then we give people 15 days to, or 2 weeks to think about it, to make sure that that's what they want to do. Because like I said, there is a cooling off period. We're not like car salesmen where there's no cooling off period. We just want to really make sure that people want to do it and be in it. And what it really is, Jackie, is it's about family. Okay. It's about family. It's about making family stronger and more together and giving them more common ground. And all of that, that's what it's really about. And all we're doing with the real estate and the business is we're just using that as the tool to build and strengthen the family by giving them a business to work on together, to give them common ground, common purpose.
For me, I'm just thinking, if all I got out of this legacy program for $997 is that I created some extra income every month, or that I got some more knowledge on improving my business, or that it only taught me ways to save money on my taxes and my investment or anything else or my business, that would really be worth it for $997. Because this is a lifetime membership that really what it is a lifetime relationship with you and your team. I'm just thinking the legal cost, because for me to even sit down and talk with an attorney, it's probably $400 to $500 an hour.
Yeah. And we're not, I have clients who've come to me who have watched some show on TV, some real estate show, and then they've spent, for example, $30,000. Some spent $80,000 on these programs to learn how to flip houses or do some kind of real estate investing. We're not like that. We're the real deal. It's $1,000. And we don't just coach you. We actually have you out there doing it and actually acquiring properties. And within a few months, you will be a landlord collecting rent and you will be in the real estate business. That's the difference between us and these other places.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I actually have friends who have gone to those seminars and have spent $10,000, $15,000, $25,000, $50,000. And all they do is just kind of like, hey, this is how you find homes and flip homes. And then they just push you off on your own and you got to go look for it themselves.
Right. And they do the coaching and that kind of stuff. And they really don't. We do stuff with people. We actually are there with them, doing it with them, helping them do it. We teach by actually doing it, not by just having them pay all this money for some coaching. That's not what we're about at all.
Listener, if you're interested in the program, it's a application process where you're going to need to meet with Maurice. He sees if it's a fit for you. You see if you're a fit for him. But you're getting an amazing, amazing financial freedom in your life. So, Maurice, tell the listener how they can get a hold of you to make this appointment if they're interested.
Well, we have our tax business website. It's MinutemanTax.com. It has all of our contact information on there. We also have a website for the legacy program itself. That's TrueLegacyWealth.com. And there's contact information there. Our phone number is 661-253-1484, where you can call and make an appointment. And then we can sit down and talk. Like we were talking about these other places, they'll take your money. Anybody that wants to sign up, you can pay them 15 grand, 80 grand, whatever. They'll let you pay them all day long. We only charge $1,000 for people to be in our group, and we will screen you. It's for your benefit and our benefit. We're like the district attorney. We only want to prosecute those cases we think we can win.
Right. And so again, these properties are priced between $75,000 and $150,000. Maurice's team will find the property, bring them to you. He research, make sure it's a stable rental market with a variety of financing. He has his own maintenance and management system. All the tenants are interviewed so that you feel safe of who's going into your property. And outside of the real estate property investment business, if you have your own business, his team can also help you with that. So what a deal, everyone. And the only thing I can say is, look, if you want something different, like Einstein said, you got to do something different. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing, hoping for a different result. So the three C's of life is what I've learned is choices, chances, and change. So you must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change.
I like that. Choices, chances, and change. That's perfect.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maurice, for taking the time out to educate us and give us a choice. Take a chance of changing in our life. And listener, thank you very much for tuning in, spending this hour with us today, and always be learning and always be growing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.